Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have learned from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." The Holy Gospel of our Lord. The months, the weeks, the days, the hours, sometimes even the minutes leading up to an impending death can be excruciating. They can be excruciating, but at the same time, they can also be filled with grace and beauty. Like many of you, I've had the privilege of walking with friends as they've approached that threshold of death. And I have found that often these are journeys that take place outside of space and time. Paradoxically, as the weeks race by, we find ourselves caught up in these precious moments where time seems to stand still. Moments that hang in that liminal space between this life and the next. And I've found that the conversations that are held in those precious moments, those are the words that have been inscribed, carved indelibly into my heart. So much that even years after my friends have passed, I continue to replay those conversations and those words of love and joy and regret and guidance over and over in my head. I find myself returning to them to draw comfort and strength and guidance. And in this way, although my friends are no longer physically present, those friendships continue to feed me and sustain me, and show me the way. Such is the conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples today. He's nearing the close of what has become known as his farewell discourse. And these are words of great import. These are the words that Jesus hopes will be indelibly carved in the hearts of his followers. He's speaking to the gathered community. He's speaking to those who will become the church. He's speaking to those who will carry on his mission and will continue to embody his loving presence in the world. to us. Across the ages, these words are rising up in our hearts and calling to us. Because we are now those who are to embody His presence in the world. In those last hours, Jesus was calling us, inviting us, longing for us to enter into an abiding relationship with Him. He was inviting us into a relationship that was mutual and intimate, life-giving, and ongoing. And friends, there is no greater relationship than an abiding relationship. To abide with Christ, we have to be more open and more intimate than we are with our dearest loved ones. To abide with Christ, we have to know Him and love Him and spend time with Him and nurture this relationship. And to that end, and to no other, we come together and worship. We spend time in prayer. We devote ourselves to formation and Bible study. We take up our daily spiritual practices. Because each of these activities, they draw us deeper into that abiding relationship with Christ. And we come closer to the heart of God that abides in Christ. When we abide in Christ, we find our center, we find the ground of our communal life together. We find our true home, the place where we most belong. In this abiding relationship, our joy and our fulfillment is complete. And from this relationship, we receive the love and the life that fills us with peace, that fuels our mission, that gives us hope and courage, and sustains us through life's adversities. There is no greater joy than abiding in Christ. And yet, although our joy is complete, the work of our commission has just begun. Time and again, Jesus emphasized the need, the desire, the expectation that we abide and bear fruit. Abiding love must flow through us into the world, just as Christ's love flows through Him into us. Hear the words of Christ. If you follow my commandments, you will abide in me. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I have given you these commandments so that you may love one another. Clearly, abiding and fruitfulness is not about just oneness with Christ. It's not about just basking in the love. Jesus calls us to draw on that love, to let it abide in our hearts, and to make it known in our community. Over and over throughout these last days of His life, Christ called us to abide and bear fruit, bountiful fruit in our world through our loving actions. So what does that mean? How are we to be fruitful? What does it mean for the community of all souls to bear fruit in the world today and to love one another? I think in order to take up this question, we must reframe our cultural understanding of what it means to love. The love to which Christ calls us is not the love of Valentine's cards or bumper stickers. The love to which Christ calls us is this generative, life-giving, transforming force of nature. And we have to get over the idea that love is just about being nice. Because, friend, Jesus wasn't nice. Jesus was a zealot. He was a man on a mission. He had come to free us and redeem us, to transform us and to bring us home, and his mission was fueled by love. And he expressed that love in many ways at different times, depending on the need. We see in the scripture that his love was often compassionate, but not always. At times it was mischievous and fierce when necessary. We see it in the way Jesus loved, in the feeding of the 5,000, in the healing of the blind and the sick and the lame, in his insistence on the inclusion of people in the margins, the Gentiles and the women and the unclean, in the raising of Lazarus, in the sparing of the adulterous woman, in the subversive act of washing his disciples' feet, and in the laying down of his life. Jesus loved without limits. When Jesus loved, the world as we know it was changed. When Jesus loved, things changed. Things changed, the world began to look a lot more like the kingdom of heaven, and anxiety abounded. And should that surprise us? Not really, because fundamentally, transformation is change. And yet we live in this world that's pervaded by a sense of scarcity and fear. And whether we know it or not, we're all unconsciously affected by that. And as a result, we walk into the world in a state of tension, hunkered down, holding on, focused on protecting those things and those people that we value the most. And so when things begin to move and shift, and we feel the growing pains of transformation, we naturally get a little bit anxious. Change makes us uncomfortable, even if it's part of the bearing of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is important for us to realize, because in my experience, when anxiety begins to arise in church communities, it actually means we're actually starting to love without limits. We're actually starting to love with abandon. And I would actually go so far as to say that if a church community is comfortable, if we're actually comfortable, and everyone around us is comfortable, then we're probably not loving like Jesus loved. Now, that's a different way of looking at things, isn't it? But you know it's true, right? When you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you finally take that faithful risk, don't we start to get anxious? And a little bit uncomfortable? Like we're hanging on the edge of a cliff, wondering what's about to happen next. But imagine it. Imagine if we're able to reorient ourselves so when we start to feel that gnawing pain of anxiety or discomfort in our gut, that we actually recognize that the Spirit is beginning to work in our midst, turning and moving and creating and transforming and bearing abundant fruit that will last. It's counterintuitive. And perhaps that's why it's so difficult to take faithful risks and see them through to their fruitfulness. But this community of all souls, you have done just this. You have found the courage and the hope to take faithful steps. And it's evident in all that you see and all that you do. The Spirit is so alive and present in the way that you make church together, as you come closer to God, in the way that God's love acts through you. You are bearing fruit, and lives are being transformed. In the work being done with immigrants and asylum seekers, in the feeding of the hungry, in the public stances that you take against policies and practices that rob people of their dignity or prevent access to health care or food or shelter or education. In your commitment to take practical steps to deal with climate change. In your desire to build a culture of invitation and welcome where everybody feels at home. In the way that you care for each other. In your devotion to formation and study. And in the embodiment of God's love in your worship and music. This is a fertile community. And for me personally, it has been such a great joy to serve with you over the last few months and to be part of what's happening here. When I share with friends and colleagues about my experience, I find myself using words like, things are buzzing. Things are happening. There's an excitement that abounds in this place, and it's healthy and it's vital. And the Spirit is so present. And I use this image, because I'm from Sonoma, of a fermenting tank of wine. But you go up to the wine country in the fall, and there's this fragrance in the air, and you see these big vats filled with grapes. And as they begin to ferment on the surface, everything's bubbling up. And it's popping, and it's fizzing, and things are active. And you know that beneath the surface, so much more alchemy is happening, transforming the grapes into the wine. All Souls has tapped into the alchemy of God's love. The love that transforms fear. The love that replaces anxiety with courage and faith. The love that frees us from the paralysis of scarcity so that we can act out of a spirit of generosity and abundance. Friends, this is a vibrant and thriving community. And the community at large can behold love in action. When they look at you, your branches are deeply abiding in the vine and they're hanging heavy with fruit. And you're committed to continuing to build a legacy of fruitfulness. And for this, you are to be commended. And towards this end, this week, we'll be launching an appeal, Love in Action. And this appeal is designed to support the growth in our worship and music ministries, our pastoral care and formation ministries. And you will have the opportunity to continue to participate and support the unfolding of God's Spirit here in this place. And the resources that come in from this appeal will allow us to continue to take faithful steps, to act from a place of love and abundance, continue transforming lives by planting the seeds that will bear tomorrow's fruit. You're doing the work of the church, the work that Christ envisioned long ago when he spoke these words, "Abide in my love."